Rabbit Mail. Hello everyone, I'm Richard Blazovic, the owner and editor of Mortgage Pro News. I want to welcome each of you to another great session in our ongoing Live Now series of teleclasses. Today's topic will be about using the industry panic to actually make your business grow and thrive. With me today is another member of Mortgage Pro News, Ted Pagano, an internet marketing consultant, coach, and guru. We also have the partners of Loan Officer Success, Brad Cooper, Ken Schreiber, and Jessica Andrick. Collectively, they have 45 years of mortgage business experience. Before we get started, can the three of you please introduce yourselves and tell us about your expertise?
I'm Schreiber, and I am the owner and partner in Loan Officer Success, and I operate a mortgage company out of Naperville, Illinois. It's a small one originator shop, and my expertise is using automation, specifically teleseminars, to drive all of my business. That's not only lead generation, but lead conversion, client maximization, and networking, all through the use of teleseminars.
I'll go next, guys. This is Jessica Andrick, and I'm a security funding home loan based out of Boise, actually Eagle, Idaho. It's a suburb of Idaho. And one of my specialties is I really specialize in helping borrowers who've had bankruptcy store closures and been enrolled in credit counseling, and I show them easy ways to basically refinance or get into homes. I also have a system that I use in my own shop where I can attract and attract lower loan officers that could possibly potentially be my competition, but because of the proven system that we have in place, we keep these loan officers and we do it with minimal headaches and minimal office space.
And this is Brad Cooper. I appreciate the opportunity to have a phone with Jeff today, Richard. And I've been in the business about 14 years. I have a small mortgage company. And my expertise, especially, is helping families with credit issues, including bankruptcies and foreclosures, refinance, and buy homes. In addition to that, we all have become partners of Loan Officer Success back in October of 2006, which we're excited about. And in addition to helping counseling, consulting loan officers, I also have a product that helps educate loan officers on how to create their own radio show. And after finding the niche, becoming an expert in that niche, and letting the whole world know about it through radio.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Right. So basically, the topic today will be helping people use the industry panic to make their business grow and thrive. And we've had a few people write in with some of their questions. If you want, I can get started there.
Okay.
The most popular question that we get is how to generate more leads, how to get more leads, how to get people to call, how to attract new customers. Do you guys have anything to say about that?
It seems to be the most common question that we're getting nowadays. Everything centers around leads, how to get more business. And it seems that a lot of the people who are concerned about leads have done really the opposite of what they should be doing during this industry storm. And what I am finding, and I'm sure Brad and Jessica would agree, is that a lot of people are really stopping or slowing down their marketing efforts. And the truth of the matter is we have a tremendous opportunity right now to grab the lion's share of the market if we just continue to ramp up our marketing efforts. Now, I know Brad, Jessica, and myself, we've done nothing other than the status quo in our marketing. I mean, we're marketing the same way that we've always marketed, and what's happening is we're getting a lot more business than we have in the last several years. Now, it's certainly, you know, little bit against conventional thought here that if the market slows down, that you want to go out and advertise more. But really, that's the best opportunity to grab market share. And so when people are concerned about lead generation, it really comes down to not marketing enough. And the great news now is that we really don't have any competition because most of the people who we're competing against have that thought about not wanting to spend any money, and we really don't have any competition, and that's why we're getting around and share the retail.
Brad, do you have anything to add?
I agree exactly with Ken. It's we've all been around in this industry about the same length of time, and this is not the first, and it will not be the last down period that we're going to see. But the last several I've seen in my life, I get excited. I see opportunity because if you look around, there's tens of thousands of loan officers, lawyers, appraisers, falling out of the business. So that is giving us a greater opportunity to market. Good example with the campaigns that we're doing and having an enormous amount of success with. When the Meltem team went out and average family household, they're doing less because we're right, Kim. Like you said, most loan officers are cutting back on their marketing. Well, I just really doubled my marketing budget. And as a result of that, I'm also very glad from the members that with the runoff to success are having record months, especially the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's in a down period. The industry is crashing, that certainly isn't the case. And one thing to note also is that from the consumer standpoint, their needs haven't changed. Their needs are the same as they've always been. There's just less options for them to go to find the answer. And that's why marketing is so important in this environment, because you can really, screen from a rooftop, do rooftops that you're the expert to fill their needs.
And let me add to that, can you just put on it, experts? What we discover with most loan officers in the industry today is they're more of a commodity. They try to be all things to all people, and they do not stand out in their area and differentiate themselves from other loan officers. And if you're in your business today, and you can't separate yourself from your competition, that's an area where you need to start right there. You need to find a niche. You need to become an expert in that niche, and then let everyone know about that niche. And that's one of the first things that we teach. And it's exciting because everyone who comes to my office, they come to me not because I'm begging them. I've already, let them know who I'm going to work with. I'm only working with the people that I can help, which is this. It all ties into marketing and lead generation.
And what it really boils down to, and Ken and Brad really hit it on the head, is when you have a myth and you let everybody know about it, you're essentially, making your own paycheck. You have people calling you that you want calling you. So if I'm the expert at maybe helping someone with doing credit counseling, well, that's a calling. Not only the people that are in credit counseling, but the credit counselors. They know Jessica specializes in helping you help the borrowers. And, although I can do conforming loans, I can do separate mortgages, and I can do all that other stuff, I want people calling me that I already know I can, I already know how to handle the loan. I know the programs went by now. I know what lenders offer those programs. Knowing how to market that move, using cost-effective and predictable marketing pieces, is really where we dive deep with our coaching members. And I'm not speaking for Ken and Brad in this sense, but two and a half years ago, I had no idea how to do this. I had a list, but I had no idea on how to, how do I get to those people? I can tell my family, I can tell my friends, I can tell my past clients. But how do I approach the masses and let them know, who I am and what I do? And learning how to copyright, learning how to stand in front of your past clients, by using these marketing pieces is is key and crucial, I think, for the assault in this business right now.
Yeah, and Jeff, you hit it on the head also. I mean, a lot of people that we've spoken to recently, they talk about marketing, and they kind of freeze up because they think it has to be a very costly campaign, or, how much money am I going to be out? How long is it going to take to recover it? And what we teach is quick recovery and cost-effective marketing with high-profit customers that really don't contest your rate, points, or fees. That's a key component also. Is to magnetize the customers that you want to work with, repel the people that are going to cut your rates, points, and fees and give you a hard time all the time, and only work with clients that you feel mutually, that you can benefit them and they can be benefited from you equally.
And the question you got to be asking is, who is chasing who? Are you chasing your dollars, or are they chasing you? And I would go back, using a doctor's example, a cardiologist. If you're having a heart attack and you need immediate, help, you're going to go to the best in the area. You're not going to go to Yellow Pages and call by a cardiologist to see who has the best rates, who has the best prices. And that's what the status of an expert and letting your area know that you're an expert, that will eliminate all late shoppers and then people shopping around because of your food.
Absolutely.
So this is one of the questions that you have coming in. Let's take a look. We do all the stuff that the industry is dead. Is there really a way to succeed in today's market?
I think, Kim mentioned it a little bit prior to that question. The borrowers, the clients, they're still there. They didn't go out of business. They haven't jumped ship. They're standing in finance. And, I think finding those borrowers, figuring out creative ways to find those people, or at least lead them to you, is key. And again, it really boils down to what's your message, and getting it out there. I don't know if you guys have heard this before. We talk a lot about this in Loan Officer Success, and Brian Sachs is notorious for saying this, but this is, quote unquote, ugly sales. We really learned how to stand out, if you will, in the mail. Learning, obviously, who you're, what people you want calling you. So, for example, if I have, I'm working on a campaign right now that is going to go out to a particular group of borrowers who may or may not be interested in doing option N. That's another one of my niches, I do a lot of. And so, trying to find the customer, that's one piece to your puzzle. But then trying to stand out in the mail is another. Now, of course, like Brad and Kenny were just mentioning, I don't know about you guys, but I'm doing a lot less mail from lenders and brokers alike out there. So standing out really isn't as hard as it was maybe 6 months ago, because so many people, cut down on marketing and expenses for marketing. But it's the perfect time to take your message and your notes and find the group that you want to market to and create a, what I would call an ugly piece. It's a piece that doesn't have to be, a glossy postcard. It doesn't have to be a very expensive piece to get your message across. So learning how to do that is what we've mastered and why our bank is serving me. So no, it's not, the business is not dead by any stretch of the imagination. The customers are there. It's just trying to figure out creative ways to find the customer that you want to talk to and create a piece that gets them, they're basically calling you. And as long as you have that niche and you are known as the expert in that niche, they will call.
A couple of things I add to that too, Jeff, which you brought some great points. Number one advice I can give to all the loan officers on the call today is turn off CNN. Turn off ABC, NBC. Quit watching that garbage. They're coming at gloom and doom.
picture out there. I've seen just the opposite. I'm located in the Midwest, it's the opposite west. The county that I live in is a little bit less than 60,000. I get a report each month of all the transactions just in our county. We're averaging over 600 transactions per month in the small area that I'm in. And there's people buying. And last time I checked, there's still a lot of people out there with a ton of debt that need help. They're coming, letting out the bankruptcy. So don't get so consumed up on what's going on in the media and think, you know, you're done. Look at it, you know, as a positive. And also, one other thing I want to add to that, you know, years ago, before I was introduced to Run Off for Success and changed my whole business model, that was about 3 years ago, my whole goal was to open up 12 offices in the Midwest.
I've had loan officers who don't understand.
They say, oh, you know, those three lanes are dangerous, and I'm not going to sell it to my customers, but what you're really saying is I don't understand the lane, and I don't know how to sell it to the right customer. So that's something that you know, you're hesitant in getting into another niche or another area of lending. No, you can learn, figure out, you know, why. It might surprise you why you're not thinking differently than what you were before. Started off loans in the big one, reverse mortgages, and as you know, we've got, 4,000 or 5,500 people a day that are these baby boomers reaching retirement ages. I think reverse mortgages is definitely something that shouldn't be ignored. Another niche that I specialize in is construction loans. It's a small niche for me, but I do 4 or 5 a month with 2 builders, and it's something that I've been doing for years, but that's another niche that definitely should be overlooked. Ken, your specialty is taking a subprime borrower and taking them to an FHA loan. Isn't that what you're doing? Ken?
Yeah, I think you said the type of difficulties.
Oh, sure.
You're right.
I think one of Kent's niches, and it's a very popular niche, is he finds the current subprime borrower who has, who's had a clean slate for 12 months, and whether they have a prepayment penalty or not, he has a way of showing these borrowers how profitable and how better off they are than getting an FHA loan. And as you know, you move up to 95% cash flow on FHA loans. If you're not FHA approved, then of course you'd want to think that through and figure out maybe a different way. But there are a ton of niches. I think that, you know, those possibilities are endless. Brad, what's the new special?
Well, you know, just to add to that, you're right. I mean, there's so many different niches, and, you know, a lot of our members, including myself, you know, my whole business career has been helping families with credit issues. So I was at a coaching member of ours asking, well, Brad, what are you going to do now? And, you know, 47 lenders or 5 bankruptcy or been sold or, you know, what are you going to do with your niche? I said, well, I'm going to keep it. Why? Because, look around. We think people, borrowers with credit issues are in there right now. Now, of course, lenders have changed their guidelines, you know, for lenders to arrive at 100% presence, which we have been thrilled with 580 credit scores. So what you have to do there, if you are in a niche like I am that has been changed, you just have to change your marketing method and maybe, you know, research the lenders are doing 95% or 90%. Then, in your marketing efforts, you need to find clients that match that criteria that lenders can be loans for. And that's exactly a transition we've made, you know, in our business just in the last 60 days. So, but the big thing on a niche, which you find, is have a passion, you know, for what you're doing. Because that will show. The reason why I have the passion and desire for the subprime market was 2 years ago, Brad Cooper was a subprime borrower. I had credit issues. I had repos. Then I had a credit score under 500. So out of that, I went from bad to good, and now I'm teaching others. So whatever niche you do have, so make sure you have a desire and a passion to help families, and the rest will come automatic. Can you back with us? That all sounds great, but I know that a lot of people are scared. How can you help people that are afraid to take action?
Is there a particular question that addresses that, Richard, or is it just a general question?
Well, it's a question I've gotten from a few people in different ways. They're all telling us that it's hard to find clients, that the clients are afraid to move ahead, that they don't know where the market's going to be going, and is it the right time to buy. And they just, you know, nervous about the whole mortgage business right now.
I think that, yeah, of course, I mean, it's been and doing, right? It's all over the news. They hear about it. But this is what we're talking about. This is the most perfect opportunity for loan officers, serious loan officers, to stand up and stand out. And let their, you know, their past clients and potential clients know that, it's all about education, in my opinion. I think, writing articles for your local newspapers and explaining what's really going on in the business. Yes, we hear 37 or 48 lenders have shut their doors and this broker in town just went bankrupt and this person just did this. Take those opportunities and show them ways to turn the lemons into lemonade. I wish I had an article, I don't have it in front of me, but there is an article that I wrote for a local paper that addressed this exact issue. And it talks about how, why is Wall Street not buying this paper? Why did, the number one vendor in our area, Element Mortgage, go out of business? And why I'm here to make a difference. I'm a member of the National Association of Responsible Loan Officers. So I took my position with NARO and made it basically a press release. And while, it's important to do business with loan officers that are here for the long run, me being in business for 16 years definitely helps, but I think even if you've been in business for 6 months or a year, if you really want to make this business your career, then you'll find ways to help educate the masses, educate your community, figure out a way to get them to a meeting with, the Board of Realtors or the National Association of Professional Mortgage Women. That's something I belong to. Find ways and opportunities to mingle with people and mastermind with people and basically rub shoulders with people out there that can, give out your name. Here's a person that, speaking up that I met at lunch or I met at this meeting, call him. He's been in the business for this amount of time, and he's a specialist in this, and I just think it's about education. I find that the more articles I write, the more it makes me look like that expert, and it gives me opportunities to help educate the press.
Right. I think that's also, I've heard that some people are having trouble finding good loan officers to work for them, and that by building up that same expertise and getting the news out, that helps attract good loan officers.
If there are some business owners on the call, in my opinion, this is the best time to attract good loan officers. This would have to be another call, because I could really go deep with this, but I actually have a system, as I said before, that my business partner and my mortgage company and I have developed that does exactly that. It helps, it's a system that attracts good loan officers. If I'm a loan officer out there and my company has just shut their doors, we've never in the market of shopping around for a different mortgage shop, where do you go? You're usually going to call your account executive and find out, what brokers out there have been in business for a long time that aren't going bankrupt. So of course, my relationships with my town executives are extremely important, and I probably value those more than I do any other relationship in this business. And so just the town executives by themselves have been a great referral source for me to attract loan officers. Now with my direct marketing skills, that's what we've implemented in our system. We have a great way to market to those loan officers. Of course, we have our ways of getting those names and addresses, but then we have a unique selling proposition that we use to get our fans in. And again, it's we're only marketing to the loan officers that we want calling us. So it's not to the masses, it's the loan officer in our marketing pieces. It's, okay, have you been in business for at least 2 years? Are you this? Are you that? If so, where's the company you might want to talk to? So I found that ringing off the hook with guys that just got in the business, because, we're not in the market enough to attract loan officers that don't have experience. But we used to. And so we had a different piece that we used to use to attract, the newbies. But yes, I think that It's a perfect place to attract these gun officers. And again, it's another call because I can really go deep with what we offer and why we're different.
I'll have to set that up.
Hey, Jessica, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted.
I have a question about the articles, because whenever you mention articles, people say, I can't write, you know, I've never written before. Can you explain how people can get started if they've never written an article?
Well, I might refer to Brad on that, because Brad is definitely an expert when it comes to this. I'll comment on it, but I think Brad's more of the expert when it comes to this. Now, obviously, knowing how to write, you know, good headlines and why someone would want to listen to you is key. Your elevator speech, if you will, your tagline, you know, why the fact that you're an expert, the fact that you've been in business so long is really I think key components. But I mentioned NYLA, the National Association of Responsible Loan Officers. Being a founding member of that obviously is a press release. That's news, right? And NYLA stands for, you know, certain things, and so I take those certain things and I basically just do a cover letter to local newspapers, local news stations, and that gets written. Now, there's an actual format tab that you go through in order to get press releases with that, but you know, just having a story, it's got to be something, you know, newsworthy. And right now, anything mortgage related is newsworthy because there's a sphere, there's a tsunami that's in our business that people are talking about. So, times like this, it's the perfect opportunity to get in front of a journalist or, an editor, someone of that nature. Brad, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do and
Publication and writing articles, because I was still in college. I basically blanked out on just doing an English and comp. That was my worst subject, and I hated it. However, it's a little bit different when you have an area or a topic that you're excited about, you're knowledgeable about, it's a lot easier to do. And there's so many different resources, which Jessica talked about, through Marrow, through our websites that we use, Mortgage Web Success, just through, the internet. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of articles which you can research on. I'm not saying, copy one from the internet and plagiarize it, because that's against the law. However, do some research. You know, it's a bigger topic if you want to write an article, especially with what's going on in our economy today, like the foreclosures. You know, resource maybe a half a dozen different articles and write an article just in your own way from the ideas you get from those articles and you have it. And after you do that a few times, it gets easier and it's coming, it's your story. It doesn't have to be, another prize article winner. It's just an article which, believe it or not, people will be able to relate to, especially if you write it in your tone and your communication. And then another thing to that, which I've been really stressed over the years, is like I said in college and high school, that was my worst topic. I've been studying copywriting and writing and improving on that. But there's so much power when you can put in words on paper and release that to newspapers, magazines, and address my campaigns. You're just then allowing yourself to turn words into money in the long run.
And one other little secret tip that I will share. In the beginning, when I was learning how to get the free publication, I tripped, I stumbled, I learned, what to do and what not to do. Now, what I do is she's a good friend, but she specializes in, it's like an outsourced publication, so she's really good friends with a lot of the writers of the, local newspapers and TV stations. And so I have actually hired her to do all my press releases. If I have an idea for a story that I think would be breaking, you know, quote-unquote breaking news, I just send it to her and pay her the, you know, $30 an hour that she charges, and then I don't have to worry about it. She critiques it to make sure that, you know, it's appropriate, it flows well, and because she has become a Dan Kennedy fan, you know, I don't know who Dan Kennedy is, but, you know, he's a master copywriter, she too understands the way I write and why I think maybe this headline would be more appropriate than maybe one that she used to suggest. We really think alike, you know, a lot now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's that idea, too, despite someone in the area that is more of a, I'm forgetting the title, but they're a communication specialist. And that's what they do like PR work for, you know, big and small companies. But they are really friendly and definitely elbow rubbers with the writers and editors of TV stations and publications. So that's maybe the easy way to, you know, to do it. I, like I said, fall on my face quite every time.
Right.
You know, I had something published that I learned as well. So something being the hard way is great, but if you don't feel like learning the hard way, you can definitely outsource it.
Okay.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add, when you are doing articles, I'm just thinking about this. Make sure they're informational, they're educational. You're not selling, you know, your services. Then, at the end of the article, that's where you're going to put a blurb about who you are, that you're an expert in your field, and a phone number and a website to contact you for further information. I just had a major publication in our area approached this morning, actually, and asked me to start writing articles in this publication. And do an educational piece each and every month, maybe three paragraphs, pretty small. But it's going to have my ugly picture at the bottom, in addition to my name and my contact information, and guarantee I'll get more leads than that than if I go out and spend $500 advertising in the same publication.
So maybe 500 words for an article of just some kind of educational information.
That's right.
I heard one copywriter one time said, just look at the headline from newspaper today and give your take on that, and it turns into an article.
Absolutely. That was a good suggestion.
Yeah, and another suggestion I had that when I started, before I started writing articles, was a particular topic you have an interest in, get a tape recorder. And just talk about that topic out loud, or better yet, if you're talking to a client and they're talking about different, you know, services that you offer, record yourself. And right there is, you know, you're going to find the content to write an article.
That's not hard to write an article, is what I'm hearing from you guys.
It sounds like the main thing is find what you're interested in and just be natural when you talk about it. Don't worry about making it something formal. You're right. It's just, you know, find passion in what they're doing, because that will come out more than anything. And then probably the biggest advice, you know, the best advice I can give anybody, because, you know, up until about 4 years ago, you know, I attended, you know, numerous seminars. I invested in, you know, books and tapes and you name it. However, I never implemented. So you got to implement, you got to take action. And until that happens, you know, nothing will happen.
Imperfect action is better than no action at all, right?
That's right. Even if you block it up, mess it up, you think you screwed it up, that's better than not doing anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Great advice.
Now, any other comments, Richard, that you had that maybe we didn't cover? We talked a little bit about, you know, the loan officers, and is there any other hints or ways to inspire the staff and to help keep them motivated and actually loyal to you? Just having them willing to go out and join and own another industry. But that's your expertise.
Well, did you say staff? The staff in general?
Yes.
Well, you know, again, I mean, this would be another topic and something I'm really passionate about, because I think as a business owner, I've always done them to treat my staff as, you know, just like I would want to be treated if I worked for someone else. And when I worked for someone else, I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot on what to do and what not to do. It's kind of like being a parent. You know, you learn from your parents on, you know, do you want to be like your mom or dad was, or do you not want to be like your mom or dad was? And then, of course, you take actions to you know, become like them or not. And so it's the same thing. It's, I think the same thing as a business owner. We have a very high split that we pay our loan officers, and that, of course, contributes to loyalty. They're not out there looking for 5% more because they know it probably doesn't exist, but if it does, we've also, we have a lot of things that we do within our company that makes it so that someone wouldn't want to, you know, go looking around. But if we approached by a loan officer, for example, he's thinking, he or she's thinking about leaving, we're not the type to beg him to stay. You know, sometimes people need to leave to figure out what they really had. And as we all know, the grass isn't always greener. Sometimes it is, but not, you know, not always. And I think it really boils down to treating people how you would want to be treated. Another thing, because I'm so big into customer retention, customer appreciation, I do the same thing with my staff. My processor is paid a commission based on how many lanes I don't have to touch and also how many lanes we do. And so what that does is basically it puts her in a mindset where it's opportunity for her to make more money, but she knows how precious my time is, so anything that she can do that you know, I don't have to do, then she knows she's going to make more money. So, for example, if I have a client, and this would probably apply more to past clients because they know me, and I'm not having to be necessarily in a sales position. If she can take a client and do A to Z without me even having to, you know, lock the loan, then she's going to make 10% of that loan and that net income on the loan, plus her, you know, salary, plus her benefits for the month. So I'm at a point now, and finally, where I don't really have to, you know, be in the office that much. I'm at my home office right now. I work a lot, I probably 30% from my home office now. But if they need me at the office, I'm on a 10-minute drive, so, you know, I can run down there. That's one way I've kept my processor loyal and excited about a job. I've also made her a partner in reverse mortgages. I am at a point in my career where there's a lot of other things I want to focus on. My mortgage business is, you know, on autopilot. I love marketing. I like to spend a lot of my day working on loan officer success ideas and seminars, as well as copywriting. And so this allows me to, you know, speed up time basically what it's done. But I still have this, you know, I have this mortgage business that's on autopilot. So all the marketing I've been taking care of, and what Linda, my processor, does is I taught her how to do reverse mortgages, and I've made her a true partner in any reverse mortgages that we do, so commission 50-50. Again, I'm not touching these files. I'm doing for the advertising, and I'm doing all the, you know, all the copywriting for the marketing pieces. I'm helping her with, we're doing small seminars to the elderly, and so help her with that. But for the most part, I'm not having to meet with these clients. In my construction business, and I told you about some of my mentors, I have a partner in that. And I call these partners mini-me's. What I've done is I've created mini-me's, and I pay them really well. They really can't go anywhere else and get the kind of expertise that I have. Is there really anyone else in my area that does this kind of, you know, marketing that I do? And so they really value me as a company owner. And so I have found that, you know, making everybody more of a partner in something versus, oh, Jessica's my boss, or, you know, here's Jessica the owner. I've always made an environment where I'm not looked at as necessarily as a boss and unapproachable, you know. I look at everything as a partnership. You know, if I succeed, you succeed. If I fail, you fail. And so everybody within our organization really treats our company as if it were their own. And if you were to come to my office, you would see that. So that's what I think your question answered it. I give you a lot of answers to that, I think, but that's really overall what I do.
It sounds like you're in a great position and that's some great advice for everybody.
And again, I mean, you know, I've been one of these people that have learned the hard way. I had a staff of 24 people at one time. And, you know, I didn't mention this in my introduction, but I'm a mother of four children. It ranges from a 15-year-old down to a 6-year-old. So I already had children at home and I was at a fork in my road at one point. I said, gosh, I always thought that to become a successful mortgage operator, mortgage broker, you have to have this big staff. You gotta have a lot of loan officers, you gotta have some big producers. And what I found was, I was going about it all wrong. And that's actually when I met Brian Saxton a few years ago. He always preached about, how to do less loans and make more money. Well, when I read into that, I thought, okay, yeah, I can do less loans, but that means I've got to have more loan officers. And that was, as far from the truth as you can imagine. What I think you need to do and what you really need to focus on as a mortgage owner, or even if you don't own your business, is your personal production. And then making sure that you've got that in place, because loan officers, as we all know, come and go. And that's where my system, where we developed the system, because we thought we have the best of both worlds. Why can't we, why can't you have your cake and eat it too? And so we have this system where we attract loan officers. We have 12 loan officers that work for us right now. And I spend less than 2 hours with these loan officers a week. Sometimes I don't spend any amount of time with them, but less than 2 hours a week, I can focus on my personal production, creating my little mini me within my company, and then, of course, bring my energy into loan officer success. So what I learned was how to charge more, and it was a very uncomfortable place. And, Brad and Ken can attest to Brian, helping me get to this place where I finally am. But really, valuing your time and not being the typical loan officer out there, and what I mean by that is if you're the expert, and of course when borrowers come to you and they know you're an expert, they don't question their fees. Now I'm not saying you go out and really encourage people, that's not what it's about at all. But it's about valuing your time and being the expert. Now if you're I'm trying to think of an analogy here, but if you're a dentist and someone comes to you with a toothache, they're coming to the dentist because they know that you're the specialist, you help people that have toothaches. But if your wisdom teeth are coming in and you need an oral surgeon, an oral surgeon's tooth goes out, you're going to go to the oral surgeon. The oral surgeon, he's telling you a little bit more than the dentist. Now, the dentist can hold the wisdom teeth. But the oral surgeon can put you out. He can put you to sleep to take those out. I want the oral surgeon to be my wisdom teeth, and I'm willing to pay more money to that guy if I can be knocked out and not feel the pain. Well, I've always, I'm that oral surgeon in this business. And so when they want to come, when a buyer wants to have a painless procedure, they know I'm the expert, and yes, my fee's going to be a little bit more than the loan officer down the street who may be the dentist of the business, but because I'm known as the expert, they're willing to pay more. And it's learning that, and it took me a couple of years, to be honest, to learn how to see myself as this person. But once you get past that whole subconscious mind telling you differently, it's powerful. It's powerful, but you've got to believe in yourself to be able to do that.
So once you become that expert, you have the confidence in yourself, and then people respect that confidence and trust it.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. I know I have one kid, and it's a handful, so I'm very interested to be able to do this with four.
You're Hey, Pat, that's for sure.
Yep. Did you guys talk about loan officer success at all?
Absolutely.
Well, actually, we became full-time partners back in October 2006, which was a huge honor and opportunity to basically take all of our years of experience and successes and mistakes, and now teach them and coach other loan officers at the United States what we have learned, which is, personally, just a huge joy in my life to be able to now help others achieve their goals and their success. And we just, about 6 months into it, it's just been great, and the opportunity to have as far as what we're going to be doing just in the next, I'd say, 30 to 35 days, just what we're going to be rolling out to loan officers throughout the United States, which is going to completely change the whole aspect of their businesses. And we're just so excited about that.
So I don't know if the loan officers online know really how this came about, and if you don't mind that, since I've got to get the job here, I'll explain what happened. Is I think knowing kind of where we were and where we are now will help everybody understand why we do what we do. But a couple of years ago, and it was back in February of 2005, like I said before, I was at a fork in the road, and I didn't know whether or not should I continue to grow my business. I was doing 25 to 30 lines a month, and I really was a very unhappy person. I wasn't spending the quality of time I should have been with my children. My husband was very irritated with me. I was not having fun. Not at that time, I'd been in the business for about 14 years, and I just thought, gosh, I didn't imagine myself being where I am. I thought, with this big company, and we're making all this money, I just thought this would be where I wanted to be. I should be very happy. I was as miserable as I've ever been in my life. And so I thought, gosh, I've got to make some changes. Do I get out of the business? Do I stay home and be a mom? We have a choice, but I had 24 employees. What do I do? And so I convinced my husband and my business partner to fly to Miami, clear across the state from Idaho to Miami, to meet with Brian Zapsky, who owned Loan Officer Success. And I had bought his gold system, which I loved, I devoured, I understood his kind of his madness behind his message, which, resonated with me, but I still didn't quite get it. I couldn't understand how you could charge more and work less. I didn't understand the concept. I said, we can go meet this guy. What is he doing? Who is he? And why should I listen to him? Is he real? And lo and behold, I walked into a room of 800 loan officers. I think 750 loan officers, in fact. And there was Brian Sachs, Blake Sachs, very happy, Green Lip here, and all these industry gurus who I really looked up to and loved reading their articles and their emails. But so I made it a point to meet these people in person, shake their hands, and ask some questions that they may not have answered from the stage. And I had my 21 questions, and it was kind of an interview process. I also interviewed his assistant, now our assistant, Cheryl Foster, who is the background to Loan Officer Success. So when I found out that these guys really weren't, I thought they were pretend experts. There's no way these guys are doing loans and doing what they're doing. But sure enough, Brian was originating and teaching and coaching and doing all the things that he did. So I knew he was real. And at that point, I decided that I needed a mentor, and I was going to meet Brian, my mentor. So he had offered a coaching group. It was a mastermind coaching group, and at the same time, he wrote out his platinum group, and he was going to allow 15 loan officers from all across the country to apply for these coveted positions. Brad and Ken and myself were one of many that applied for his platinum group. And this platinum group basically consisted of loan officers, like I said, across the country who we get together 4 times a year to mastermind. first. And at the time, I had limited thinking. You know, I was very territorial. I thought, oh my gosh, and I hope no one from Gracie's going to be there. And all that, you know, I'd never thought in abundance. It was me, 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 you know. Don't want anybody to know my secrets. But Brian quickly set me straight on, you know, really limited thinking of getting nowhere. And helped me get out of this box that I was in. And talk about thinking outside the box, Brian was the master of it. And I thought, okay, you know, I need to put my ego aside and stop, you know, stop acting like I know it all. And hear this guy. And then, of course, becoming friends with Brad and Ken and the other Patton, the Patton group, really helped me see that what I was doing, I was just going about everything I wanted. It wasn't in the amount of numbers of employees. It wasn't about the number of loans that you were doing a month. It was, okay, how do you want to live your life? What do you want your life to look like? Okay, here's your vision. Now, build your business around that versus building your life around your business. And it was just, it was a complete mind shift. And it took lots of arm twisting and you know, days of crying and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff to finally get to a point where I'm now, you know, I call it the new me. The whole reason I can, you know, handle all that I can is because of my shift in my mind. So, long story short, that was kind of a long story short, Ryan saw that Brad, Ken, and I were at a place in our businesses where we finally got it to where it was on autopilot, and we thought, you know what, we really want to start giving back to this industry that's been so good to us. But what can we do? And we each had ideas of what we could bring to an officer's success, and that's where we became partners. So we know the value of hanging out with people that are like-minded. You know, masterminding, being around Brian Sack and really having the new types of people. You know, being around like-minded people. And the biggie was investing in yourself. I never had been to a seminar before the Miami event. Not ever, ever, ever. I just thought, you know, those are for the birds. Those are for people that don't know anything. You know, I know everything. But little did I know. And so going to the seminar and investing in myself, and of course my business partner, he got the vision, my husband, he got the vision, and we all invested in some products that Brian and a lot of other people had to sell, and it's changed our lives. My husband's in commercial real estate, and you won't believe what he's doing with his business and some things that were shared and of course implemented by us at the Miami event. And so that. I promise you, Richard, that
if any of your members have any questions, we would take a few minutes and answer those. So, let me get your names. I'm sorry, what do you think? No, I said we could go on in this topic for probably the next 2 days. I know I could. I think we're running out of time. If you wanted to talk about Phoenix a little bit, and then you can have them email the questions and you can get back to them. Okay, I'll let you give that email information in a little bit. What we have done for Mortgage Pro News and for you, Richard and Ted, for your members, we're putting on an incredible seminar May 17th through the 19th in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Everything that we've touched on today's call, we're going to get really deep and go in detail at this seminar. In addition to that, we're going to be rolling out an incredible program that is going to basically change the format of a lot of businesses nationwide as far as lead generation, but also lead conversion. It's one thing, you know, to get leads coming into your business, but if you can't close them, it's for workers. However, we really agree that it's to put together a special offer to your members with Mortgage Pro News. And you would get to let them know we're hosting a 3-day seminar, which is 2 days we're going to offer to your members for free. And for information on the seminar and to enroll in the today again, which is free. And by the way, the third day, we are having a special optional third day, which is a small investment, which is going to be a total mortgage makeover session. And getting deeper involved with both what's going on in your business, how we can help. And we're going to offer tools there that Monday, when you go back into work, that pattern Monday, we're going to have the tools you need to start making money. I've been to probably hundreds of seminars in my career, and a lot of them are, you know, fireworks, you know, motivational type meetings, you know, walking over hot coals, fireworks, you name it, but they've never been the tools I needed to start making money immediately. And that's what we're going to be offering at the event we're hosting May 17th of the 19th. For information, you can go to mortgagepronews.com/LOS. Again, that's mortgagepronews.com/LOS. It stands for Loan Officer Success, LOS. And get all the detailed information up there. Learn about some other guest speakers throughout our industry. We're having them. We're bringing some of the best speakers throughout the world, in my opinion. And they're going to be there the first 2 days. And an opportunity to network with hundreds and hundreds of other loan officers. And I know since we are like a little over a month away from the event, currently we are about 88% as of this morning sold out as far as the room we have at the resort. So I want to make that special offer to you, Richard and Ted, and to Mortgage Pro News members as a gift. And we would love to have you come out, introduce yourself to us, and get to know a little bit more.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much. And we didn't get to do the questions, so if anybody has any more questions, please feel free to email them to thrive@mortgagepronews.com. That's thrive@mortgagepronews.com. And that's a great deal. It's a great seminar. And I want to thank all three of you, Jessica, Brad, and Ken, for being on this telecast with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you. Nice talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. You too. Thanks.